Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to What Culture Gaming. I'm Scott, joined by Josh.
Hello, Scott.
Josh, my friend, we've spent all weekend playing Crash 4 and I've finished it. I've hit credits. I haven't got 100%. You're getting through it. You're very much playing on the retro mode. And I think one of the biggest talking points around it, which is kind of the same as when the Crash Insane trilogy came out, which also reminded me of a video that me, Peter Austin and Jules did back in like 2016 when that game came out, trying to get our heads around how incredibly hard the high road was. It's not like Crash doesn't have this history of difficulty. Crash 4, though, I'm just going to open this by saying, do you think that it has a difficulty problem? I know what your answer to this is.
No, the answer is no, Scott Telford. I know you have been fuming at it all weekend over how much of a difficult time and frustrating time you've had with it. And I'm not going to say that it's like easy peasy, no challenge at all. But for me, it's exactly what I want out of Crash Bandicoot. And I know we have different favorites in the franchise, which I think explains why I've really gelled with it and really enjoyed the challenge you might not have. But for me, like going into this video, you know, we always disagree, even though we're like, I don't know how we're such good friends, right? Because we disagree in everything. Every new game,
not literally
we're right down the middle.
Just game mechanic stuff. It's not like we're sitting there going like, I can't stand freedom. And then, I don't know, that'll be on the table. But you never know.
Yeah, I mean, when it comes to game mechanics, yeah, we do completely split right down the middle. So for me, I don't think there's necessarily a problem. And for me, in fact, in a lot of ways, it's like the perfect distillation of what I want out of Crash. It's got the challenge that's about right, and it's got the spectacle and both of them together. I've been having a bloody good time with it, mate, is all I'm trying to say here.
Well, the thing is, I was messaging you over the weekend because my mood with this game is, because I love Crash, grew up with him, one of my favourite little characters ever. I had a little plush when I was a kid, little plush Crash. Couldn't love him more. And I love the animation, love the character redesigns, I love the worlds, like you said, like it's this big spectacle and everything. So my mood throughout the weekend playing through it, especially on Sunday when I just dedicated like a whole 9-hour chunk to it, was very much just sort of like, oh, it's great, oh god, oh, it's great again, just back and forward, like the whiplash from the highs and lows, because for me and they're not objective lows at all, although a couple of them I do think are objective issues. I do think that objectively, I think hiding crates throughout the level, literally behind pieces of the world geometry, which was a thing in the old Crashes, especially in Crash 2, but wasn't a thing in every single level. It feels like every other level here has there's a crate hidden inside a stack of tires to the side of the level. There's one hidden behind a rock that you would never know unless you looked at a walkthrough or randomly jumped off the world hoping you would find it. Stuff like that is infuriating, getting to the end and realizing you don't have the full 100% crate thing and then being like, oh, fiddledy-dee, I'll go do it again then. Stuff like that is, for me, so insulting of my time that, like, I don't just mean me, I mean as the player, that it just makes me go, oh, well, F it then. Like, I'll just go and do something else. But that's the tip of the iceberg for the stuff, the problems that I have. There was something we were talking about before we started recording, and I think it was the crate stuff. That was the stuff that you were saying maybe feels a little bit too old school.
Yeah, a little bit. Like, obviously, you know, that, like you said, that was in the older games to an extent, but I do feel like this one takes the mick a little bit too much. Like, I feel like I'm looking thoroughly throughout these levels. Like, I'm finding the hidden gems. I'm, you know, getting all of the boxes otherwise. I'm, like, being very meticulous with it. And then I'll always miss it by one or two that I know are just kind of either out of frame or hidden behind something. And to an extent, like, I don't mind that because it does encourage replayability. But I think the difference this time around is you've got so many other things that encourage replayability that, like, the boxes before, like, kind of used to be a huge major part, but now you've got the boxes, you've got the Wumpa Fruit, you've got the time trials, you've got the alternate versions of the levels and stuff like that. You've got so many reasons to go back and replay it anyway that it feels a bit more egregious than usual here. And I will say that is a little bit frustrating to get to a level that you've spent a lot of time on, like I said, meticulously going through, and then missing out by one or two boxes that you know were, like you said, hidden behind a part of the environment. Like, you couldn't tell otherwise, even by moving the stick around. That stuff can get a little frustrating.
And they've obviously designed those things to, like you said, encourage replayability. They want something that's going to last for a long time. The insidious part of me, or the cynic part of me, that thinks that because it's been rumored that this game might get microtransactions going forward, that they will just offer up the skins, because you have to get a certain amount of gems. Some of those gems, the goals for them are contingent on getting every crate in a level. It will be just like Activision to be like, oh, you don't want to do it? Why don't you just give us a quid and we'll give you the thing that you can just buy it instead? If that comes true, then I'm calling it right now. But one of the other things I think is that replaying the Ensign trilogy when that came out in 2017, I think it was, made me realize that, like, yeah, I absolutely adore Crash 3. And that was the whole thing, was like everybody kind of realizing, like, was Crash always this hard? And that game kind of, with the Ensign trilogy, obviously, Vicarious Visions had to go back and sort of apply Crash 3's physics to the other games, which meant that Crash 1 and 2, your muscle memory didn't always line up, things like that. But I did realize over time that I very much love Crash 3 when it started getting more. Crash 3 is the easiest one, like, by a considerable margin. And I feel like you can play that first time through a level with a certain amount of flow, where you just go all the way through and you're not really dying unless you're being quite careless. Whereas for me, Crash 1, 2, and now 4 have a lot of stuff built into you. You need to play with a level of caution and anticipation, or a bigger sense of caution and anticipation that was ever in 3. And so for me, it's very much trial and error, gotcha game design, where it's like, oh, you landed here, and then this flame jet came out of nowhere, or this enemy landed, or we hid a nitro crate inside other regular crates, so that when you were spinning and running through a level, you just got blown up and you're back to the last checkpoint. Stuff like that really sticks out to me.
For me, I'm kind of like on the exact other side of the coin to this, because while I played Crash 3 the most as a kid, it was never my favourite. Crash 2 was always my favourite because it had that kind of element of challenge to it. Like I said,
2's very much the fandom's favourite, yeah.
Yeah, like blended the spectacle with a challenge. It had a certain flow to it. You could go through those levels so fast when you knew where everything was, but there was a kind of element of you needed to be present in the game, like you couldn't just blow through it. And one of the differences between Crash and these other retro platformers, you know, that have had remasters, like Spyro, for instance. I loved Spyro when I was a kid, and when I got like the remastered edition, when I was playing through the games, I kind of got bored, because that is like very easy breezy. You're just going through the levels. You don't have to think too much. Whereas with Crash, the Ensign trilogy, like, I committed my life to getting the platinum on that, to getting everything unlocked, all the
you
time
and Jules
trials
were just
stuff.
We didn't even see you for like months.
No, just lived on it. And I'm doing the same with this. I worried, but I thought I was going to get a very solid kind of like 8 out of 10 easy breezy experience again in the same vein as Crash 3, and I would have enjoyed that. But what's took me by surprise is the element of kind of challenge to it, the fact that I want to get these perfect runs, I want to go through and, you know, hit all the boxes in a certain way. And I feel like the game is designed with that in mind, like your timing and your flow through these levels feels so good when you get it right, but you can't just do that first time. And
I
feel like you can still not breeze through it. For me, I'm going through it like a couple deaths at a time per level, but like not an egregious amount. And it's just kind of, I need to be present in the moment. I need to be looking ahead. I need to be kind of considering what's going on. And I'm not saying that you're obviously not doing that and just kind of mindlessly going through it or whatever, but I think it does demand a certain element of kind of thought behind what you're doing and looking out for these potential traps. Because for me, I haven't found it cheap. I haven't had any deaths where I've gone like, okay, that was purely designed just to kill me and teach me a lesson. Like everything, every time I die, more or less, 99% of the time, it feels like my fault that I've kind of like misjudged something or not seen something or kind of got a bit too arrogant. And for me, that's what I like out of Crash, but I know a lot of people don't. They want something easier that they can just breeze through and kind of have a fun time with.
Yeah, and that it's fascinating that those twin mentalities very much came out of the Ensign trilogy, because that was me sort of realizing that, like, oh, there is this entire wing of the Crash fandom, which could be the total majority of the Crash fandom, although with it being such a mainstream thing, I would guess it's more casual. There is a whole wing of that fandom that loves everything that you just described, like being in that really specific analytical sort of headspace where you see everything coming and you're reading the entire level and everything like that. Whereas for me, I, like I said, my favorite is Crash 3, and I played them when I was a kid, and then going back through the Ensign thing. There's a level of, like I said, flow to platformers overall that I'm applying to Crush that Crush 4 does not want you to have at all. And it is very much like you said, you do. There's an element of memorization that you're going to have in every single level. You're going to get caught out at some point. And, you know, I mean, I guess if you played slow enough, maybe you'd be fine. But there's nearly always going to be a certain series of platforms, a gauntlet of something you need to memorize, something you need to figure out on the fly, where like an enemy will come out of nowhere, or you'll hit an arrow box thing that'll jump you up into a nitro crate. And I'm like, oh, I guess I was supposed to keep going with that thing. Stuff like that. That I think it sticks out. And, you know, when those moments happen, your reaction is either, oh, cool, I'll figure that out next time. Or in my case, it was like, you son of a, you absolutely put that there to kill me, in a very much the original Dark Souls, when the dragon just flames you on the bridge. And it's just sort of the devs being like, hey, just wait, we got you.
It's so funny because I have that same reaction of, well, hey, you got me, look what you tried to do. But I do it with joy. There was a moment in one of the levels where you're interacting with one of the masks. I think it's I think it's like the Dark Matter mask or something it's called, where you like the infinite spin one. And you get pushed by these kind of like whirlwind things. And there is one where you have to jump and use it and then turn it off, otherwise you hit these nitro crates. Yes. And I managed to turn it off like first time and like just stop short of it. And I thought, that moment I was just like, right, you've tried to catch me out there, and I've just at the last second managed to kind of, you know, preempt it and kind of see exactly what you were doing, and I love that. I thought that was so good. I was like, I was sort of like reading the level like the developers were designing it, you know what I mean? I felt like I was getting a full grasp on it and stuff, and I love that stuff. Like, to me, that is what I love about Crash, and it's what keeps me coming back to it. It's why I've been hammering in it all weekend, and the only reason I haven't finished the game is because I've been going back through levels and replaying them and trying to get 100% and trying to do it, you know, with under 3 lives or get all the crates, find the hidden gems and stuff like that. And it's so weird, because this is going to sound strange. Crash isn't like the most hardcore platformer game. It's not like Super Meat Boy or something, but it has that element of where it kind of blurs the line between casual and kind of like difficult.
It might be the 3D equivalent, to be honest.
Yeah, maybe. To me, it's almost like a stealth game. Like, I don't know how you play it, but to me, like, the goal isn't necessarily getting to the end. It's almost getting a perfect run, and if something goes wrong, I'd rather restart and try to do it properly. Like, that might sound really strange, like a strange way to play it, but that's the mentality.
Yeah. One thing that they've added is extra checkpoints. Obviously, they have the modern and retro split anyway, but if you mess up enough, they'll just give you another checkpoint to be like, because they're clearly aware of the dick bits. They're clearly aware of the full-on flailing penis parts that they've put in here to just be like, well, we're clearly going to die a lot here, so if you die a lot there, we'll put a checkpoint right there. And I'm like, that's something that is in very much modern platformer design, whether it's 2D or 3D, that idea of, you know, the challenge isn't how much will you put up with, the challenge is can you navigate this series of obstacles. And I love that evolution of the genre. So I think stuff like that, when you just get, like I said, dicked on and you're kicked back like 2 minutes before you collected all the crates, before you did all the meticulous stuff, before you navigated some really specific series of obstacles and jumps and everything, having to redo all that again is, for me, so fundamentally off-putting that my first time through the game was just, oh God, I've got to do this again. And it wasn't until I replayed the levels, like I'm going back through it now, I'm collecting all the gems. There is something post-credits that frees up the allocation of gems that I absolutely love and made me go, oh, thank God, there is something in here that means I can actually unlock the skins and stuff like that. But like I said, I think it's a dividing of the mentalities between the fandom, because like I said, the Insane Trilogy very much set in motion, or at least highlighted, this hardcore set of Crash fans that's always been there, that want to get the platinum relics, that want to get everything and want to, you know, play with a certain headspace that I think Crash 3 moved completely away from. I'd like that they've managed to kind of tick both boxes, but it does still divide people.
Yeah, it's so weird. Like everyone kind of like seems to encounter these games differently. Like, for me, the controller throwing rage, that's what I get when I'm trying to get like the 100% runs, you know what I mean? I was doing one mission last night where I died like 25 times on one specific part where I was in a jet ski and I was trying to fight against the current and dodge these bombs and whirlpools while hitting all the boxes, and it was just so frustrating. But I only get that almost when I do it to myself. Like, I don't get that level of frustration when I'm just going through the levels trying to complete them. And I feel like, for me personally, maybe just because I only expect that kind of like frustration on the higher levels, I think the difficulty is quite well balanced, where for me, again, this is entirely my own perspective, going through the levels just to get to the end isn't too bad. Like, it's quite well balanced. It only gets frustratingly difficult when you try to add on all the multipliers and try to get the 100% completion. And I feel like that might be a nice way to kind of bridge the two gaps, potentially. I don't know. You seem to think the exact opposite here, but I think...
You get through it, and then obviously, like you said, because they give you the gem requirements first time through, I'm like, okay, I'm gonna try and get all this stuff on the first time through. And like I said, it's designed for replayability, and I think that acknowledgement, because like I said, once you finish the game, once you hit credits, they do change the way things unlock anyway, and they give you something that is more geared towards being able to do everything, let's say, to keep it vague. And I think that's the thing, they want you to sort of just get through and then worry about the more complex, annoying stuff. I don't think that necessarily gets around some of the level design stuff that is just big old dick stuff, but I totally agree that it's easier to just get through it and then comb everything else, that the real big frustration parts come from where are all the crates, etc.
Yeah, totally. I mean, like, I would definitely agree with that. And I think I think that might be the best way to do it, because then you get all different, you know, age ranges, all different skills. Like, I could put on my kind of like a young cousin and play them through the game, and they'll probably have like a really difficult time. But then I can put on like an advanced gamer, whatever that means, you know, someone who's been playing platformers their entire life. And I'm sure they'll still hit something that is challenging for them, whether or not it is, you know, searching for those hidden gem areas or whatever. So I feel like, I don't know, for me, the scalability of it is quite well done, even playing on like retro mode or modern mode. I don't know. That's just me. I'm really interested to see, right, what the people in the comments think about this, because I feel like we are always kind of on different sides of the argument, and I never know what other... I've never met, like, any of the, like, hardcore Crash fans. I didn't know they existed until the NCAA trilogy happened. Yeah.
But I mean, that whole wing of the fandom, like I said, kind of, I didn't really realize that existed. I think it's just because I was so young when I played Crash 1 and Crash 2. And then, like, I loved Crash 3 so much, I didn't think of it as this hardcore thing. And I don't think it's not really presented as that. But it does very much have the mechanics that play into that, and the progression systems and the unlocks and stuff that play into, no, you will comb every pixel of this world until you find every crate, or you will get through on 3 lives or less. Which, as you get towards some of the later dimensions, like some of the requirements to try and get through on 3 lives or less, God help you doing that on the regular mode. But yeah, it's just ridiculous. But yeah, let us know what you think down in the comments below. How have you found the difficulty in Crash 4, and how do you find it in the series overall? Is it something that should be held up as potentially the 3D equivalent of a Super Meat Boy? For now, I've been Scott from WhatCulture.com.
I've been Josh from WhatCulture.com.
And we'll catch you next time. Bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here's a question for the marketers listening. Want to find that perfect customer beyond the world of scrolling, swiping, and searching? Here's a secret to make sparks fly. Smooth talking with podcast ads. With Acast, you can reach millions of listeners who'll be hanging on your every word. On the train to work, in the gym, or waiting in line for coffee. Start up the conversation with podcast listeners anywhere and everywhere. And they're looking for love. 60% of listeners have a higher trust in brands they've met on podcasts compared to social. Get closer to your audience. Make podcast ads with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.